guy in Lancaster, because they say it wrong, who is giving away potatoes and not candy. Now, I get it if he was trying to, like, if people were didn't have food to eat and stuff. Okay, but let's take that out of the equation. He, and let's just say he's doing it because he thinks it's cute or cool or whatever, like in that story. The potato guy, giving away potato guy, he is a prime example of people afraid to hurt feelings and tell people the truth. And that sometimes that gets me in trouble, but it gets me a lot of respect too from people, I think. Because the real honest to goodness answer with the potato guy is this. Now, kids don't want a potato, pal. Give them candy or just turn your light off. And I don't mean that to be flip. I don't mean that to be a jerk. And people say, well, you know, beggars can't be choosers. Well, first of all, I'm not begging. It's a tradition. It's Halloween. Second of all, nobody really wants a potato. They don't. This isn't, you know, I'm lost here by this guy. You know, come on. This isn't 1847 in Ireland. People don't need a potato. Give them a Kit Kat like everybody else. There's a case of trying too hard and nobody being truthful with this guy. Come on. Sheesh. 866-391-1020. Forrest is in Carnegie. Hi, Forrest.
Hey, good afternoon. Here's a funny one. I'm a neighbor of Pat Catena, the LED County Council President.
Very good man.
Very good man. But for years, when kids come to my house and get candy, I'm like, you want a good house? That guy's house over there, he's giving away dollar bills.
Oh, my God.
They race over there. And Pat will call me and laugh. But the best, first of all, the worst candy, popcorn balls, I like the styrofoam baseball you bought at
That's what I said. Game. It's like styrofoam. Just save it. I don't want any of that for sure.
That's what my cheap mom bought. So for 6 months, there was one in my lunch bag every day. Okay, but I'm from Minnesota. The best candy is what's called Nut Goody, salted nut rolls, and bun. I have two boxes in my house now, not for them, but for me.
Wow. Yikes. So you're not giving it away. So if Pat Catena on Allegheny County Council, you told people was giving dollar bills. Imagine if you're Bethany Hallam's neighbor. If she's giving away free needles in Narcan, I bet. Anyhow, somebody has to, right? 866-391-1020. That's 866-391-1020. Bob's in Millville. Hi, Bob.
Hey, how you doing tonight? I have my
I'm good.
Popcorn balls, the candy corn, and bridge mix was what I got.
Yeah, remind me to miss your house.
This is when I was a young kid. And we got 3 cents from every church.
Yeah, tax. You know why they could give you 3 cents? Because they never had to pay any taxes.
Yeah, that's it.
What do you got going on tonight there? What do you got going on tonight, pal? You got trick-or-treaters coming around?
No, we're in my apartment. We don't have any children coming in.
Well, that's okay. What are your plans this weekend there, Bob?
We had it the other night. We were down a local bar, Smokies.
Smokies? Where is Smokies in Millville?
Yeah.
Oh,
wait. Grand Avenue, Howard Street, Millville.
Oh,
had a Halloween party.
I don't think I've ever been to Smokies. It's Smokies Tavern, right? Howard Street.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Howard Street. Yeah.
That's what you just said, Howard Street.
Yes.
Yeah. What is that? I'm trying to picture it now. Where's Howard Street, as you say?
Come up, Grand Avenue.
Yeah.
So you come to the last light.
Okay.
You make a real easy left turn.
Okay.
It's right on the corner.
It's right on the corner.
Before you go up Stanton Avenue.
Oh, I know where it is. I know exactly where it is. Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I know that place. Yeah. Smokies. No, no. Yeah, I know. It's like there's like a big sign out in front that says, oddly enough, yeah. Smokies Tavern.
Right.
I know where it is. You like that place?
Oh, yeah. We used to get down there all the time.
What happened?
We had a good DJ. A DJ used to play 50s and 60s every Saturday night, but he quit.
Why'd he quit?
After 40 years of doing it.
Well, didn't they have a DJ at the Moose in Millville?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's
oh,
what
yeah.
I thought. Yeah. You don't gallivant down there?
No, Moose is gone.
No, I mean back in the day I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was down there, yeah.
Yeah, it's a good spot.
We were down there. Oh, very good. Very good.
Okay. You ever run into sidelines? Right. You like sidelines?
Yeah, well, the wings are great.
Super. Some of the best in Pittsburgh, no question.
Yes.
You take it easy, fella.
All right. Thank you again.
You too. Forget what we were even talking about. Millville, we could do a whole show on Millville bars, by the way. Millville had one of the old school Dairy Queens left that was great, that you could go to after a baseball game, and that was fantastic. The Hardee's in Millville, though, RIP, that was a big story when that went away, which was not too long ago. Coming up in just a little bit, I can't understand why Americans are fascinated by this. I'll tell you what that is, and I'll take your calls on... Nobody's calling about my hobo costume. I guess everybody would be okay with it in 2025. I'll tell you something I cannot wrap my head around that Americans seem to care about. I mean this. I have no idea why one American, and look, you do you, I'll do me, but it just, I'm lost on it. Why Americans care about this.
Queen Elizabeth and Prince Philip proudly introduced Prince Andrew.
He was born a royal prince, second in line to the British throne and raised in privilege. But he'll now be known simply as Andrew Mountbatten Windsor, stripped of his titles and honours by his own brother, King Charles. Andrew will also be forced to leave his sprawling mansion, Royal Lodge, and move to alternative private accommodation.
They should have a no kings protest there. But anyhow, why do Americans care about this?
I'm Vicky Barker in London. Although technically now a commoner, Andrew Mountbatten Windsor is still eighth in line to the British throne, behind Prince Harry's children, Archie and Lilibet, and his daughters, Beatrice and Eugenie, remain royal princesses. The king is reportedly fond of them, and they've managed to keep their noses clean, unlike their scandal-prone parents.
Yeah, I don't get it. Everybody likes what they like. And I get it when, like, Dodi Fayed and Princess Diana and all that happened and the watching a funeral or being compelled to feel bad for a terrible tragedy. Certainly, yes, because they're humans. But we get wrapped up in these royals that is just, it's beyond me. It really is. You know, a big fan of the royals? The royal family, Jack in Mount Lebanon. Hey, Jack.
Hey, Colin, I could give up about the royal family.
I know. That is one of the things that mystifies me the most about us, is that there's even one lone American who was not born in England who cares about these people.
Nobody does. Nobody in their right mind does.
You're wrong, though. I'll tell you this. Whenever there's movement, whenever there is a ceremony, whenever there's something, the TV ratings are just astronomical with them.
I believe you. I believe you.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I remember that one call you had. Sky Bar was a good candy bar.
Okay.
There was a candy bar called Zero.
Yeah, oh yeah, I know what the Zero Bar is. It was a silver wrapper with blue writing, I think.
Uh-huh, white chocolate.
Yes, that was pretty good.
I like that, them too, and I like popcorn balls.
Well, we're not friends anymore.
Oh, buddy!
Why do you think... Tell me... Okay, now we're getting down to brass tacks here. Tell me the lure in the pool with a popcorn ball. Why do you like those?
Oh, I told Margo I was just going to jag you.
Oh, okay.
Bit.
Good. Are they bad?
They're sticky.
Yeah.
I'm having a beer for her because she has to work tomorrow.
She does have to work tomorrow. You know where she's going Sunday, Jack? Steeler game.
The Steeler game.
Uh-huh. Margo's going to Steeler game.
Oh, Steelers are a Pennsylvania team.
They are a Pennsylvania team, and they're in town. So Margo, front runner that she is, she's going to go ahead and be a Steeler fan for the day because that's how she operates. Although I give her respect. She is first, and she claims it. She is first an Eagles fan. She does not waver, and she is not a Flyers fan. So I'm all right with that.
Well, you know, she knew. I told her back during World War II, the Steelers and the Eagles became one team.
Right.
And she knew all about it, that they were called the Steagles and all that.
Well, yeah, certainly. A lot of people know that. Right. That was crazy how that all did form. Last thing for you. One candy. You get to stick your hand in and get to choose what you come out with. What is that one Halloween candy that Jack in Mount Lebanon likes?
Zero.
Zero bar.
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. There's not coconut in the zero bar, is there?
I just think it's white chocolate with that stuff that's in a Kit Kat.
Okay. Yeah, like a wafer.
Caramel
or caramel, either one, right?
Yeah, whatever it's called this week.
Gotcha. Good stuff from Jack. Happy Halloween. Jack-o'-lantern, we'll call him today. 866-391-1020. So much more to get into. Top of the hour. I can't wait to get into this. I've got a story. You know, I've been thinking about this, getting ready. I hear all these spots like, no, 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 no. I'm like jazzed up to go vote on Tuesday. But when I say go vote, I mean go vote. I got to talk about that coming up at 5 o'clock. And we'll also hear from Jeff Hathorn in the 5 o'clock hour. And before we get out of here today, the very best Halloween audio ever recorded. I mean it. I'm not joking around. Dive into all that. Oh, so before we get out of here today, a little over an hour, I'm going to play for you the best Halloween audio ever. And I mean ever. We'll hear from Jeff Hathorn in the 5 o'clock hour. He's in Palo Alto, California. Pitt and Stanford. Great campus at Stanford. I mean, fantastic campus at Stanford. The farm. Out on the farm, they call it. And it is, it's really something. Truly is. Well, so, top of the hour, something's very important to me on Tuesday. It doesn't need to be important to you. It's the thing. What you learn listening to my show. I never tell you what to do. I just tell you what's important to me or the things that I enjoy. This is pretty scary stuff, though. Oh, and before we're out of here this hour, do we have it totally screwed up with college football and the importance maybe in some places in this country, or are people just serious about business? Talk about that. But, first I want to talk to Diane in Elwood City. She's been on hold a while. Hi, Diane.
Hi. Hey, you got me thinking with the Halloween candy, remembering some things when I was growing up. I grew up on the north side. Our neighborhood was great. We got great candy all the time, but there were two things that I absolutely hated that I would get. One of them was, it looked like a fake ice cream cone, and it had that marshmallow.
Oh, yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about.
And you said the popcorn balls were like styrofoam, and I think that those ice cream cone things were more styrofoam.
What did you make? So that was the first one. What was the second one?
The second one was those little wax bottles of liquid.
I talked about those earlier, yeah. And you'd bite the top off and you get about 2 ounces of sugary liquid.
Oh, gosh. And they would break in your bag, too, if something bumped them. You know, they would just ooze out. Yeah.
What did you make of the things that were called satellites or whatever that looked like communion hosts?
Oh, I like them. We like them. We still like them.
Before your first Holy Communion, did you practice with those as if they were hosts?
No, we didn't, but we're pretty devout Catholics. I don't think I would have done that. But afterwards, we actually still did pretend that they were like Holy Communion.
Yeah. Where did you go to church?
St. Cyril's.
Oh, okay.
In Brighton Heights.
Gotcha.
The other thing that I remembered, when you said about the being a hobo now, I think, yes, it would upset people, but I don't think it wouldn't upset the hobos, because, of course, you're not trick-or-treating to anybody's house that's a hobo. But all these bleeding heart people that just, I mean, I think they would get offended.
I think you're right. They would. You would have to say you were unhoused, though. You wouldn't be able to say you were a hobo. You'd say you were an unhoused boxcar rider, as opposed to a hobo. There used to be a romanticism with hobos, like back in the Woody Guthrie days and stuff, you know? I mean, people thought that was, there was, like I said, a certain romanticism with it. All right, I got to get serious for a minute before we get into something with ultra seriousness in Louisiana. But give a listen to this. This just moved on the wire not too long ago, and I'll tell you what, this is scary when you start to peel away the layers of the onion.
This is a continuation of a case that was being developed since last May, where an individual was arrested for being connected to ISIS, and that case then led to other investigative lines, which resulted in a human source inside that chat room. That's how the FBI got tipped off to this.
Okay.
It was a member of the Joint Terrorism Task Force that was actually in that chat room that identified this chatter about a potential plot to be carried out this weekend. But it is still unclear if that was really going to materialize or not. But the FBI decided that it was worrisome enough that they need to step in this morning.
Here's what is known. That five people, including two teenagers, have been arrested in Dearborn in connection with a suspected ISIS-inspired terror plot. Now, authorities say there's no danger to the public, and the reporter there says they uncovered this plot, part of a joint terrorism investigation. Now, arraignments are to take place this afternoon. It is definitely a scary situation.
They were working a case over the last several months, and they knew where to be, and that's how this happened. But it is unclear if this was just chatter and if it was actually going to be a real thing or not. We also learned that likely charging documents will not be unsealed today. We're looking more towards tomorrow.
Nonetheless, this leaves us in a real lurch as a society, or maybe for some it doesn't. Dearborn, a heavy Muslim area. Everybody knows that, right? So now you're left with a balance as law enforcement, local, federal, state law enforcement, all of it, where you do strike a balance. And you even have to do this in your head. You run the risk of stereotyping or profiling. But it feels like that there are a lot of Americans who look at a community like that and say, there's a disproportionate amount of people who are involved in terror or would be terror who come from that community. So how do you stay and develop, how do you develop intelligence, and how do you stay proactive without people being accusatory in terms of profiling or stereotyping? Some people will tell you, I don't care. Shake them down, shake everybody down, and stop and frisk. Other people that you'll hear on the other side will say, man, you're going way too far, and you're innocent until proven guilty, which is true, and that if you profile even the least little bit, I'm going to call the ACLU, and we're going to drag you into court. But when it becomes a same community that disproportionately is involved in situations like this, it's really tenuous. It's tenuous from a law enforcement standpoint. It's tenuous from a public standpoint. It's tenuous from a keeping the peace and keeping people happy on all sides standpoint. Because what you end up doing is there's a powder keg. And there is. Right now, there's a powder keg between the American community and the Muslim American community. It's developed. And you can't satisfy everyone. And then when you get stories like this, what you'll have are people who want to be accusatory. They'll already push it forward. They'll play judge, jury, and executioner. People who are Muslim and have nothing to do with this will say, hey, I am then going to be stereotyped and targeted and profiled. It is an insane delicate balance right now. It just is. And I wouldn't want to be a member of the law enforcement community having to do my job because you're being pulled by both sides. It's something that, I don't know if it's going to kick off, but it's something that has no easy solution right in the now. It just doesn't. 866-391-1020. That's 866-391-1020. Coming up next, is this just business or is this too far? I'll explain. Top of the hour Tuesday is important. It just is. And there's varying levels of importance to you or me or some other people. I'm just going to tell you my tale. Also, I'm feeling a little bit sad about what's going to happen in about an hour or so, in a way. But I'm sure other people can relate. We'll also hear from Jeff Hathorne in the 5 o'clock hour. He's on the West Coast. And I promise you, before I get out of here, the greatest piece of Halloween audio that is in existence. At least I think. Now, this is subjective. But it's, for me, the greatest piece of Halloween audio that has ever been produced. I mean that. All right. Is this meddling in other people's business? Or is this just big business? So, we all know football Saturdays down south are pretty darn big. College football in the south, whole different story in the SEC, right? Southeastern Conference. So, LSU got rid of Brian Kelly, who's a grade A jerk. I've known the guy since he coached at Cincinnati. Jerk. I mean, Mount Rushmore of jerks, Brian Kelly. So, anyway, he got fired. See you later. LSU Athletic Director Scott Woodward, he's now resigned under pressure after 6 years. He did that last night. He was LSU's Athletic Director, and it's 4 days after he got rid of Brian Kelly. Here's why. Republican Governor Jeff Landry said that Woodward wouldn't be responsible for hiring the new football coach. He stepped in and said, hey, listen, I'm the gov, you're the Athletic Director, but you're not responsible for hiring the new football coach. Now, the athletic director, or now ex-athletic director, is from Baton Rouge. He went to LSU. He was hired in 2019. Since then, since he was the athletic director, okay, LSU has won a national championship in football, two in baseball, women's basketball, and gymnastics. Paul Skeens' girlfriend. And Paul Skeens won a couple of the baseball ones, or one of them. They put out a release, the Board of Supervisors at LSU. We thank Scott for the last 6 years of service as athletic director. We had a lot of success at LSU. Our focus now is moving on the athletic department forward and best positioning LSU to achieve its full potential. So this athletic director hired Kim Mulkey, who was LSU's first women's basketball coach to win a national title. And he's also, done great things in kind of advancing the baseball program again. Now, James Carville, a very famous LSU man, said the Louisiana governor and the LSU board has damaged the reputation of our university. Landry's IQ is the equivalent of the temperature of dishwater, he said about the governor. The LSU board is weak and pathetic. This is not about my politics. It's about my university. So this is how big football is at LSU. The athletic director, now ex-athletic director, who was seen as hiring the wrong football coach, said, okay, so I hired the wrong guy. All he did was go 34-14 at our school. and he didn't reach the playoffs, and we're having a tough time. So I'm going to fire him and pay him $53 million before it gets too bad. Okay, that's the right decision. He does it. Then he looks over his shoulder and goes, okay, it's time for me to hire. I'm going to get a second chance here. I'm going to hire the right football coach. And instead, the governor steps in and he goes, actually, you're not. Because I'm the governor. Business is business. We need business to pick up in Baton Rouge on Saturdays. We can't have you doing this anymore. So I'll be hiring the next football coach. This feels like 1951 stuff. Like, Bear Bryant ain't walking through that door. And Nick Saban ain't walking through that door. It's Steve Spurrier. No, it's not happening. But what a crazy thing. So if anybody ever tells you, hey, is football like huge college football down south? Or give me an example. Tell them about the time when the Louisiana governor told the LSU athletic director, stand down. I got this. And also, you're done.